So please welcome to the stage, Emmett Gross.
All right, so I love gangster movies. And there was a period in time where most of my major life decisions were based on gangster movies. I realize, looking back on it now, it took me to some strange places. And here's one of them. So me and my friend Luke thought we were natural-born street hustlers. We were the guys in front of Summerfest selling $3 Summerfest pins for $5, clocking $2 a sale, and really thinking we were some big money hustlers. We thought we were really doing it. In actuality, we were out in the hot sun 5-6 hours a day, making maybe $6 an hour. So we weren't quite to the level we thought we were. But when the Major League Baseball All-Star Game came here in 2002, that was our meal ticket. We were going to go from petty street hustlers to kingpins. This was the move where we were going to become Scarface. We had a plan. We were going to sell t-shirts and other souvenirs, and we were going to do it legal. That was the biggest thing. We had done our homework. We knew the permits we needed. We knew how to get this done. What we didn't know is how slow state bureaucracy works. So when the game day came and we didn't have our permits, we did the only thing we could do, the thing that we thought we did best, which was hit the streets and try and move some merchandise. And that's exactly what we did until a scrubby-looking guy walked up to us, flipped open his badge, and we were busted. We were whisked away to a tiny antechamber of a holding cell underneath Miller Park. And after sitting in that cell for about an hour, the cop that busted us comes up to us and says, "I showed your stuff to Major League Baseball, and they want to sue you for copyright infringement." Then he adds, "I think I could talk them out of it, but you got to come clean with me. You got to tell me who you're working for and how many of these shirts are still out on the streets." And that was the point where the whole thing became very surreal. It was this fantasy we had built for ourselves had grown to such a proportion that the cop believed it, everybody believed it. This idea that we were hustlers, the idea of it was bigger than any little scheme we'd ever pulled, any little hustle we'd ever done, anything that we were. Our mythos was bigger than what we were. So we actually believed we were hustlers, and this cop apparently believed he had stumbled onto some international t-shirt counterfeiting ring, and if he could just get us to flip, he could work his way up the chain, and like he would get to Kaiser Soze or something. Like, this was his break. And the funny thing was about it, if he was observant, he wasn't that far off. I had gotten back from New York City that morning. I'd driven back from New York to do this hustle. I had on my wrist a genuine street corner New York Rolex, back when you could still get them off the street. I was also wearing a bootleg Scarface t-shirt I got from some little store down on Broadway. So if he was observant enough, he would have seen counterfeit shirt, counterfeit watch, two counterfeit hustlers here, getting sweated by a cop with a counterfeit charge that we knew was just bullshit. So we just, we kind of convinced him that we were as small as we really were. We ended up with a ticket for soliciting without a permit, the very thing that we had planned, the one plan we had to avoid. We ended up primarily because the state couldn't get us our damn permits on time. But ended up leaving that situation with a little bit of a clearer picture of who we actually were and what we were doing. We were not Kaiser Soze. We were not Stringer Bell and Avon Barksdale in that jail cell. We were just two little kids that thought we could make a couple bucks and ended up getting busted. Thank you.